You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO, and I am Luann Linnekin.
And I'm James Rich.
Hi, James. It's good to see you. So, Kingdom Recovery is a program about what it's like to have kingdom mentality and live your life out as a Christ follower, citizen of heaven.
Kingdom citizen,
and how it relates to, due to my background and what the Lord has put on my heart, how it relates to cognitive therapy, behavioral therapy, and 12-step programs, because that's my background. And so as I grow in the Lord, He shows me and teaches me more about how He is the influence in all things, but how He's the influence in those programs and in therapy, and how we need to focus on Him because He's the founder, creator, and father of it all. So Kingdom Recovery kind of like brings our focus, our mind towards Him, so that we can get the solution and then live a life in peace and ease, because we're going to talk about dis-ease today and powerlessness. So I was driving, and I'm sure people listening are going to identify with this, because I know you guys did, because we were all giggling. So I get the word disease, dis-ease, distance from ease, behind ease. And now I need to write, because now I'm looking up words. I'm at a light. I'm trying to write things, right? So this, and if I could read it, it's on a piece of paper, my sandwich paper, because I grabbed something out of my bag. And I wrote, dis-ease, expressing completeness of an unpleasant action. Because, you know, in the program and in the DSM-5, well, now I think it's like 10, who knows? I haven't been in the field in such a long time. I mean, in the secular field. But they diagnose it. It's a disease. It's categorized as a disease. And the way I explain it is being at dis-ease. And so is sin. Our bodies are not made to have sin, dwell with sin. That's why our bodies can be affected, our minds, and it almost like trying to reject it. But we are relying so much on the outside things to give us the ease that we can be in denial. So disease is keeping us from ease when we're in dis-ease. It's negative. It's the reversal. It's to be distanced from ease. So it's an abnormal reaction to sin, disease. Amen. Right? So our bodies aren't made for sin, and that's why we manifest so many things when we're choosing sin that are uncomfortable for not only our bodies, but our spirit, our soul. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit when we're choosing things outside of His will, God's will for us. So, and with that, we talked about vanity last week from step one, which is we admitted we were alcoholic in AA, or we codependent if you're in codependency. But I usually say we admitted we were powerless over sinful nature, sinful behaviors, and that our lives have become unmanageable. That's how I like to address it, because alcohol is just another tool for the symptoms that we use, you know, like it's a false medicine that we think, like money, like position to shopping. Ease us. Right, shopping. Eating. Amen. So, and all those things can, even though, you know, like, okay, yes, we need to eat, and but if we're doing it in a misuse, abuse, dependent way, we're distorting the way God has planned it to be. Similar to what the devil does, right? He takes what God creates and then distorts it.
I'm in no way the perfect eater and get into all that stuff, but I do realize that you go in the grocery store and can you imagine if someone like from Moses' day went in there, they'd be like, the promised land, oh my gosh, they see all this. And it's all geared for our taste buds. So we're right. taught from a child to eat out of pleasure, you know. So I think it's hard not to have some of that where, you know, you're eating something because you like it, even if it's not good for you. You know, not necessarily real bad, but we're just eating for taste.
Well, and it's design.
We're just down to that, you know, as a nation.
Like you were just saying, we're designed to be motivated by our senses, to be activated by our senses. And God tells us that we should be looking at the inner senses of the heart, you know, the eye of the heart and the smell and the taste and the touch and the hearing of the heart rather than our exterior senses. And that's what the world is designed. That's what the prince of the air manipulates the things of the world to do, to keep us distracted, to keep us believing that if we just had one more of that, or if we had some of that, or if we had none of that, we would be okay. And it keeps us focused on the wrong things. So,
I mean, if we had no taste buds, we'd eat a lot different.
We probably would, yeah. Of course, we wouldn't matter. We wouldn't be pleasing anything.
We didn't even know it.
Amen. So, so we can live out our lives in vain, and that's in pride. We talked about vanity, pride, and that produces no results. It's useless. Having or showing an excessively high opinion of oneself, abilities, or worth, having no fulfillment, being powerless. It actually leads us to powerlessness, because nothing is fulfilling. Nothing is the power that we're looking for to please the inner senses. That really is what we should be, our spirit. Hallelujah. So powerlessness is the without ability, influence, or power, devoid of strength or resources. And when we're powerless, we're hopeless. Life becomes pointless. And I know I had to get to that place before I can confess that I had a problem with any area of my life. Usually, I mean, it's not as severe today, but I still have to get to a place where, you know, I've tried sometimes in certain areas, I'm trying every way to justify that this is why I feel this way or this is why I'm thinking this way. And until it stops working and I get to a point where, okay, there's nothing I can do anymore, I'm powerless, then God can come in. And last week I read something. And it was until we get humble and admit we are powerless, and that means sick and suffering and in need of, our Lord is powerless. Our Lord is powerless. God is powerless. He's not going to force himself upon us. He's not going to force us to follow him, to eat with him, dine in us. He's not going to do that. He asks us to open the door and invite him in so that he's a gentleman. And if he did force us, it would be conditional love. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't conditions to some of the, there's conditions to all things, you know, either we're going to be in the curse or we're going to be in the blessing. And that's the condition. So, and if you don't know what the difference are, you're going to be walking in blindness, spiritual blindness. So we need to know that. But God's love is unconditional, because even when we're sinners, even when I'm not, you know, I'm taking my will back or however we want to say that in an area of my life, he loves me anyway. He loves even the unsaved he loves. Unfortunately, they're not growing the love with him in loving him back.
Right? I just want to make, because one thing you said, she's not saying that God doesn't have power.
Oh, no.
You said when God's powerless. It's just he gives us free will.
Yes.
because he wants us to choose him. Because if you make us robots and make us love him, it's not real love. Love has to choose.
Amen. And God is sovereign. He's going to do what he plans and sets out to do, but with or without me is what I'm saying. If I don't allow him in my life,
find someone else.
He'll find somebody else, right? And that's my powerlessness because I'm not allowing the power to lead and guide me and operate through me. It's not really ever my power. It's my agreeing with him, my will in agreement with his power, with his will.
Yeah, and he will give his power for him.
For him, his, amen. For him. That's right.
But like Catherine Kuhlman, she, I believe it was her, said she wasn't, God said he had chosen a man that didn't want to go. So he used her, and the same with John Kilpatrick in the Pensacola Revival, that God had asked someone else first, and he said, well, why did you choose me? He said, because you always prepare for revival, because he'd been preparing for years and praying for revival. So he will use someone else.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And so, and this is the other thing, you know, he can do nothing as long as we remain prideful. We're not going to, because we're going to believe that we have another way, that we can do it, or that we don't have a problem. We don't need help in that area when we're in our pride, in pride. It's not even our pride. It's Satan influencing us. And then we wear it, and it looks like us, just like the Holy Spirit. If you want to know what who the Holy Spirit looks like, look in the mirror. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're allowing him to operate through you and you're living a life according to God's purpose, plan, and word, Holy Spirit. When you're living outside of that, there are other spirits, demonic spirits. There's one Holy Spirit and many demonic spirits. So if you're in anger, you're wearing anger. And that's, you look in the mirror, you look like anger. You're allowing anger to look like you. How's that?
Yeah, and it's funny how as you get older, it's like if you had years of bitterness, you could see it, they start taking on the form of it.
It's true.
An older age.
Because it takes over your body. And then you start
expressions that they have too, like anger. I mean, bitterness has a certain expression.
Yes.
Pride, you know.
Yeah, different body language.
Jerk your head back. I mean, that pride thing.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, there's different, manifestations in different types of way, body movement, right? You know, words it uses. Sometimes it's stuck on a word.
And I just want to say, when you're praying for someone, even though that's very noticeable, if you've learned that you don't really want to use that as discernment. I see that happen a lot. Like right now, I'm sitting my arms crossed. If I was in someone doing deliverance, a lot of people are like, oh, you're not receiving, your arms are crossed. You know,
Whereas it's really cold in here. It is cold.
I mean, I had a guy do that to me once.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen that a bit with different people.
Like, because that's something that you learn.
Because there's books you can learn that.
You learn that as a therapist. That's things that we learn to read people when they come in for an assessment. So, and you're right. I'm sure I did it in the beginning before I actually allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me, you know. Today, if I do see things like that and I tend to say, okay, well, maybe they are, I go to God with it. I'm like, God, is that what I'm seeing? Is that what's happening? What should I be saying? And I don't rely on my own mental ability. I take captive the thought, bring it to the obedience of God and say, okay, God, is this something you're showing me?
Because if you minister that way, the Holy Spirit won't be guiding you. He may not want to touch that. Mm. Maybe a year down the road before he wants to go to what you're seeing. That's why, like, everybody sees when someone's smoking and stuff and they want to jump on that. But God may set them free of 15 other things, and all of a sudden that just leaves. You don't even have to deal with it. It's just let the Holy Spirit guide you.
Amen. So he can do nothing as long as we remain in pride and in denial. We need to invite him in our lives and ask for help. That's why when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart is really important. Same thing is when we admit that we're powerless in these programs, or even in, if I need help in therapy, if I don't recognize the problem first, I can't even understand or receive the solution, who is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Can't receive the Holy Spirit, hope of glory, if I in denial about needing power, Holy Spirit. That was the word when I first went in the rooms when I was younger. I was 21, 22. And that word, I'm going to just say it the way I felt it, pissed me off. It pissed me off because I was tough. I was tough. What do you mean I'm powerless? I'm not powerless over anybody. I'll fight. I thought that's what it meant. You know, I wasn't recognizing that it meant like I really, I'm being defeated every day, spiritually, emotionally, physically, you know, in the spirit. And I couldn't understand it. And I didn't understand it for many, many years until I entered into the kingdom of God in a different way, on a different level, you know, because you stop doing certain things when you're young. You can get a life again. You can go back to school. You're showing up. You're doing this. So life gets, you know, like you think, oh, all right, well, that's what powerless means. I got to, you know, work for this, change that, and it all works. But then after a while, you start to feel like that old self again, even though you're not doing the things you used to do. And it's like, why is this happening when I'm doing everything they're telling me to do? You know, and then you get frustrated and you start to get hopeless, and then it grows because he got in. You know, he got into your thoughts in a louder way, I should say, because we can, our will can convince us that if we just do it this way, if we study enough, if we do that, and that's another off track. It's either we're fully submitted to the enemy or ourselves. You know, we are our worst enemy. If I learn enough, if I involve myself enough, then I'll be okay. You know, it's the same thing with marriage too.
Maintaining, like, if something's new, like they just start coming to AA, or they just get in a group in church and they're excited, and that's feeling that place that starts, like you said, after a few months, might be 6 months, all of a sudden it's blah blah, and that whole thing.
For me, I was like the 3 month wonder. I would be a star for 3 months, and I'm like, all right, this is nothing's happening. This is not as good as I thought it would be. I got to go, you know, in relationships, everything. So powerless is without ability, and only Jesus can. So we must enter the kingdom in order to receive the power, who is the Holy Spirit, to be able to do the acts of God here on earth, you know, lay hands on the sick. At first in our own lives, you know, when we lack authority and power, we have a lack of ability to act on what God's saying. So that's just it. It rejects Jesus Christ. Powerlessness rejects Jesus. And we're looking for love, God, our whole lives. We come out of the womb looking for love. Because just think about it. And I'm just getting this thought now. He knew us before we were formed, before we were born. So we were in his presence, right? And then we have to come to earth. As little babies, we don't know what we were thinking then, but I'm sure we were thinking, I can't believe I'm not in front of God anymore. I got to look for him. And we spent our whole lives looking for that feeling of love and peace and ease and comfort. And we're looking all over the world for him, and we can't find him until we accept him in our hearts, you know? Praise the Lord. So we try drugs, we try anger, we try success, we try all these different things to get that fulfilling peace that we had before we were on this earth. Because once we get on the earth, we're in a broken place. So, okay, that was my little bunny trail. So, and I also read that we must enter the kingdom of God through the door of destruction. And then God showed me a picture in my mind when I was writing this today that we, on our side of that door, it's all beat up. It's the world's door, right? But on the other side of that door, it's a golden, beautiful, perfect door. You know, but we think, I can't go through that door. That's not the right door. You know, I don't want to go through that door. I keep looking for the gold door, and the gold door is on the other side of it. It's on the inside. And that's the same thing about our lives. We're looking for all the riches of the world, all the peace of the world, and all that stuff. And really, it's all in us. He's already supplied everything in there. So we need to go into that place with him. So truth equals power. It says it's truth that makes us free, you know? So power is truth. And it's not just if we're believing a lie, it could be a truth to us, but if it's not God, doesn't line up with God's word, it's the only truth. Jesus is the truth. The word is the truth. If it's not the word of God, if it doesn't line up with the word, if it doesn't, and I'm talking about, you know, people can deceive. The enemy can use people to deceive us through false preaching. And that's why it's important we have our own personal relationship with God so that you know him and you know when he's tugging you and saying, no, something's not right there. Or you know the scripture and, you know, and you don't have to go around defending God. I did that for a while because he doesn't need me to defend him. I just need to love and just be respectful and I don't have to eat. I don't have to chew what somebody's trying to feed me. That's all. So
amen.
That's for anyone who needs to hear that. And in Romans 8:3, it says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control, powerlessness in our life, hallelujah, over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins, for our powerlessness, for everything that we're powerless over here. God died for us so that we can receive the power, the Holy Spirit, and fulfill God's word here on earth as it is in heaven, here on earth, the way Jesus walked. Jesus was a man, and he was filled with Christ, the Holy Spirit. The power of God was in him, and the same power that was in Christ that raised him from the dead dwells in you, believers, followers, citizens of the kingdom of God. Every one of you listening has the power to overcome whatever is trying to harass you, defeat you. It's already been, that's why faith activates, because when you believe it, that it's already been done and the victory is there and you have everything you can possibly need inside of you. You just have to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you with it. He will release those mysteries as you need them. If we knew the path before we had to walk it, we wouldn't go. I wouldn't go. If I knew half the stuff that I was going to have to walk through to get to where I'm at right now, I would still be back there saying, I'm not ready. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to go through that, you know? That's why he loves us, but he's with us. He was with me all the way. Even in the moments, I could look back and I can see him when I didn't even believe in him, when I didn't have him as my king, as my Lord, as my Savior. I see him in my life. So how much more when you become his child do you see him and recognize him when you're going through those trials? And so he said the world is going to have them. We live in a broken, fallen, impure world. So we're going to be faced with some things. But we have the power to overcome, to move mountains. Inside of us, he dwells. Hallelujah.
The kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent take it by force.
Yes.
And the armor of God has nothing to protect our backside. It's an offensive posture. And if we're just trying to get free and, you know, I mean, everybody has their own circumstances. This isn't like I'm labeling this for everybody 100% of the time, but when you're moving forward in the things of God and moving in the power of God, there's an excitement in your spirit that your life is just easier dealing with everything, where as far as if you're getting free of addictions and stuff, right. If you're just going with the kingdom, you know, but it's when you're idle, sitting idle, it's like riding a bicycle. My first pastor used to say, and he was very anointed, but he'd say, it's like riding a bicycle. You can't coast. You're going to fall over. And once you start coasting, you'll just fall over. It's might take some longer than others, but it's really a forward motion kingdom amen. You're joining, and your life will be different when you're moving forward.
Yeah, amen, amen. And you can't go on other people's laurels. You can't stand on someone's coattails and expect them to drag you. You have to do it for yourself.
It's like the oil when it goes through you, when the anointing goes through you. It's like you stay fresh yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not stagnant. It's like excitement in there.
Amen, amen. So another one with powerless, just some scriptures, is Job 26:2. It says, how have you helped the powerless? How have you saved the weak? Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So God's telling us all through the Bible that there's power in him, in his name, and in his spirit, the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Right? So Acts 1:8, and I want to read this because God, this morning I was doing, you know, just going over everything, and he put this on my heart. So Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness." And that means you shall be witnesses, meaning your lifestyle shall be a witness to who he is, right? To me, to God, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, you know, right away when I was reading that, I'm like, I wonder, let me look up what Jerusalem, what is Jerusalem in the Bible? Like, what does that place represent? What does Judea represent? What does Samaria represent in the Bible? And this is what I got. And I think it's wonderful because if we replace the words, it's a deeper understanding of what he's trying to tell us here. And it says, Jerusalem is God's promises, justice, and peace. So we will be witnesses to me in justice and peace, he's saying, in Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem represents justice and peace, right? So he's saying that to us. And then in Judea is praise and mental attitude. That's what it means in scripture. If you look it up, I was reading all that, and there is some more information. You can go deeper, and it means the mind of Christ. So we will be witnesses to him in the mind of Christ, in an attitude, in praise, hallelujah. And Samaria is interaction with each other, connections, conversations. It's the woman at the well. You know, it's when Stephen got stoned, he went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. That's where it was. So it's where you're connecting with other people. You're sharing the gospel all in the world. So hallelujah. So sometimes when we're reading the Bible, if you get a tug on a word or an idea and you're like I know that wasn't me saying, okay, like, let me see what that means. It was the Holy Spirit trying to teach me something, get my attention. And I took the moment to look it up. Took me a little time, but that's okay because I went a little deeper. And I'm like, that's wonderful to share, you know, because I remember things more when I stop and I go a little bit deeper in it. So all authority is in Jesus. He's our Savior. All power is in Christ. He's Lord. So Savior and Lord. When I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm accepting Jesus as my authority and Christ as my power, the Lord of my life. The Holy Spirit of God is Christ in me, the hope of glory, in you, listening. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you accepted Jesus Christ, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is the higher power that people talk about in the program of AA.
And there is what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's which is where you receive power. Mm-hmm.
Because
to
you
do
can
miracles or, you know, the nine gifts, and which is, but you do receive the Holy Spirit. Not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you definitely receive the Holy Spirit.
And that's why Paul asked, have you received the Holy Spirit? Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Since you believed.
Since
so
you believed.
They said
right.
We were baptized, but baptized into what? The baptism of John.
Amen.
We know not whether there is a Holy Spirit. And then he prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke
Amen.
In tongues.
Amen. And that's important. So sometimes I even ask people when they're struggling, I say, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? And a lot of times people don't. They don't know. I mean, even when we were doing Kingdom Recovery at my house, there were a lot of people who were born again, who were loved Jesus, but didn't know the Holy Spirit was a person. Mm-hmm. You know, they just knew their concept was not right. And in learning about who he is, and we recommend some literature, Benny Hinn has Good Morning, Holy Spirit, great book. Mm-hmm. And I recommend anybody who wants to get to know who the Holy Spirit is to read that book, because it helped a lot of people that I know when they understood that he's a person that wants to have a relationship with you. It's Christ. It's Jesus in you. It's God, the Father, in you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and what's a higher? So higher power, what does that mean? Higher, seat high above. Jesus is seated high above. And what's power? Holy Spirit, the word of God, the breath of life in you. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The same Christ that was in Jesus, that is in Jesus, is in us. Christ is here on the earth. Holy Spirit is here right now on the earth. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. But the Holy Spirit is here. The now God, the now time, the now testament is Holy Spirit. So you have the Old Testament, Father God, his spirit going around trying to get the attention of his people. And then you have the New Testament, his body, you know, going around.
The spirit's just in us instead of going around.
Amen. And that's Jesus coming in, you know, the New Testament is Jesus. And now the now testament is us filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, what are we doing? There's a book being written.
Yeah, the veil of the temple is ripped.
Amen.
Which is what, like a foot thick? Ripped from top to bottom.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit was released. And some would say, well, that was so we can go into the Holy Holies. And then some said it was to get out. And I think it's both. Mm-hmm. But before that, we couldn't be in the presence of God. It would burn us up because sin can't be in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
But the blood of Jesus then cleansed us where
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit can come in us. But it's all by that blood cleansing
that allowed covering. That. Amen.
So it wasn't happening before that.
That's right. So be in Jesus Christ. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. The Holy Spirit. And that's what in the Old Testament, that's what the Holy Spirit did. He came upon people. And he entered temporarily to fulfill an assignment. Like when the specific, when he was building the temple, he gave specific talents. He was in them to inspire them, to give them the creativity to do things that were never done before. You know, so, and then he left. Same thing with Saul.
Well, he lived in the temple.
What?
He lived in the temple.
Yeah, but I'm saying when the Holy Spirit was inspiring them to build the temple with special craftsmanship and stuff like that, things that weren't really ever seen before, basically. And then the same thing with Saul. Saul, the king, King Saul. He had the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit was taken from him when he betrayed God and he went crazy because he was not anointed anymore as king. God took it. So the Holy Spirit has always been around.
And an evil spirit would come and trouble him. And then
that's
David
right,
would
torment.
Play the harp. And I'll tell you what, when you're struggling, and worship is a very good tool when the enemy's beating you up to just drive him out
just
of your
sing.
Head and out of your house.
Yeah. Sometimes I sing in the spirit. I don't even know what I'm singing. I just start singing a tune in the spirit, and it helps me. Amen. Because I don't always remember. I'm on the worship team, and I can't remember a full song. It's like I'm fresh every time I get up there. What's this song? Oh, okay. You know, it comes to me as I go. Hallelujah. Ask me to sing a song. I won't know it. It's the wildest thing. So be in Jesus Christ, and you will receive authority and power to do the works of our Father. As Jesus Christ did, even greater works shall be done here on earth because he's multiplied. He's multiplied through us to do more works. We can reach greater land. When Jesus was walking the earth filled with the Holy Spirit, if you weren't near Jesus, if you weren't in his presence, you couldn't be. Unless, of course, he gave you the power and authority to do it like he did the disciples. But if you didn't know him, if you weren't around him or anything, you couldn't get the healing or anything unless his authority, and he blessed it and he did it. Hallelujah. And that's why he died for us, so that we can all have that power.
And so he can have bodies,
right?
Because he was stuck with one body, and now he moves through millions of bodies.
Right, his seat.
Those who will submit to him.
Those who will submit, correct. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages, of the age. Amen. So there's evidence of who has all authority here on earth. So when we say higher power, we're talking about the highest position here on earth, Jesus Christ, Jesus. So I'm just trying to prove, to show evidence of who Jesus is. He's in everything we do. It's just the enemy manipulated. Even when AA first came about, Jesus was the higher power that they were all basing the program on. It started with the Bible. There was no big book until 4 years later. 4 years after the program, what were they doing? There were people being saved and delivered. Hallelujah. And then they wrote it. But the influence of man, the manipulation of man, influenced the wording. How's that? Because fear of man. Fear of man, well, maybe not everybody would accept this. Maybe not everybody, it won't be attractive for all people. You know, and that's what gets us caught up in that religious concept, those religion beliefs. And we try to blame Jesus for religion, but he came to ixnay all that. So in Matthew 9:6-8, it says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He's the only one that can heal us, forgive us. So when we do all that step work, if you're not doing it Christ-centered, you're going to fall. You're going to walk away feeling really good temporarily. But like we were talking earlier, 3 months later, you're going to feel guilt, shame, or remorse again. Because the enemy's going to get in there and say, you didn't really make an amends. You didn't really get over that. And all of a sudden, the wheels start turning again. And you got the whole peanut factory going on up there. Right.
Yeah, and self-pity always usually comes, you know, that's a big
that's
thing.
That's one of our number one.
Yeah. And just start, you just start feeling blah, starts with, then start feeling lonely. It's funny when you, how many people go into programs and then they see someone and they think that's all they need is the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Everything's fixed.
Someone.
Oh, I'm good, you know. Yeah. And they'll get together
because
and they'll be good for
the
a little while until that starts becoming the norm. And then all of a sudden that other stuff starts coming back.
Amen, amen. So let me read that again. Matthew 9:6-8 says, but that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic. It
okay,
says.
Paralytic.
Yeah. Okay, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. So it's Jesus. Jesus is the power and authority inside of us. If we allow him and his will and his plan and desire to motivate us, activate, and lead us and guide us, it's that power that will step on serpents, raise the dead. And the dead are spiritually dead, too. We're talking not only literally dead and cast out demons.
Heal the sick.
And drink the poison and not die. Which means, listen, anger can come try to pour itself on me and touch me, but I don't have to die over it. I don't have to obsess over it. I can take it. I can recognize it. I can go to another person, talk about it, go to God. Find a scripture to stand on in that situation and move on. It just recently happened. I mean, I could have fell for anger, but I wouldn't let it come into my heart. I had to stay in how can I love? How can I bring the ministry of reconciliation? That's what I said every morning. Show me how you want me to bring the ministry of reconciliation into this relationship. And he gave me so many different ways.
Praise God. I took them.
I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
And you know.
Amen.
You drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. If we were in a different country, because I know a guy.
Water.
Went to Africa for 30 years, a missionary. Matter of fact, his stepson is the one that had Common Ground in Fort Pierce. And first thing they did was they put a black mamba in his house. And he went in when the light was on. And he tripped over and he's kicking it. And he walked back. He's like, what the heck's on the floor? And they turned the light on. It's a black mamba. Then they poisoned his well. And mm-hmm. then when he didn't die, then they want to know what the heck was going on with him. And he ended up leading many
people. Well, and what Paul got bit by the snake.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
Amen.
Amen. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, listening, the hope of glory. So put on Christ Jesus today, right now. The now testament. It's the now testament. We got the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the now testament. I always say. We are the now testament.
Yeah,
Galatians
new.
Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. Acts 22:16 says, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on his name. Whose name? Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm just trying to show you the evidence of who the higher power is that we should be talking about in the program. and boldly. Every opportunity I have to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I say it, especially in those places. Even when there's manifestations happen, people leave. People, you know, want to share after me and kind of contradict or whatever. That's fine, you know, because we just have to be bold for him. So while on earth, we are subject to battle with sin, but Jesus gave up his life for us so that we can receive victory. By the same Holy Spirit of God, the power that indwelled him to indwell. And I wrote indwell because when I did this, God wrote in the well, indwell us. So we're in the well. Love it. He does that sometimes. So indwell means we're in the well with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do you want to say something, James?
No, I'm good.
Yes, I know you like that.
I thought of a story earlier when you said quadriplegic. I'll just tell real quick. It's just an awesome story, but it's kind of off course. Just my brother was going to a church, and there's a guy who's in a... He was a quadriplegic. He had the thing on top of the chair, held his head up, and he used his hand. And then he wasn't there one week, my brother. And the next week when he came to church, a guy handed him the paper. And he's talking to him, and he's like, my brother's finally like, man, I know you. You're so familiar. I just can't figure out who you are. And it was a guy in the wheelchair.
Praise God.
The week he wasn't there, he jumped out of the wheelchair, ran up and jumped up on the stage.
Hallelujah.
He'd been in there 19 years.
That's awesome.
Quadriplegia.
Amen. Amen.
And then the doctors wanted to come look at him because he was so atrophied. They wanted to see how in the world he could even, because there's no muscles. And he did all of it.
Amen.
He had muscles and everything.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is really good. So I didn't have the power needed to overcome my sinful nature. None of us do until we get into our spiritual nature, supernatural, divine nature of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us.
And yeah, when you're ministering to people, and I know this is true with everyone, it's like when they talk, you know, when they're in addictions for years and you talk to them and they got it figured out, they're done. They're not ready.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And yeah, okay, you've done that for the last 15 years. Where you at?
Right.
But you just got to let them go.
So, and not having that power, you know, temptations and generational curses that want to kill, steal, and destroy me were actually getting the best of me at that time because I didn't have. And, you know, this is for people who say, well, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And, you know, because even in the beginning, you know, when I was diagnosed with the infirmity, you know, cancer. And in the beginning of that whole journey, I came out strong like, nah, you know, I believe the word. I believe that. But when you're going through it, there are moments where you're like, I don't know. You know, and but you got to stay in it. You got to fight that. That's the battle right there. You got to just keep saying those scriptures. Some days are harder to say them. Some days are you want to yell at them. Some days you don't want to say them. Some days, you know, just keep doing it. And because the Holy Spirit already won the battle. It's our hearts that have to line up with the awareness and the word and believe. You see, I can say lots of things in my mind and let my mouth say it. I can allow my body to dictate my mouth. I can let my heart dictate my mouth, dictate my body. Go ahead.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So you're not only telling the devil and everything else when you're saying it, you're telling yourself.
Amen. You're convincing. Correct. You're growing in your faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I used outside spirit to help me before I had the Holy Spirit. I used outside spirit things to help me. I mean, you know, whether it was drugs. I mean, we call alcohol spirit. So, you know.
Lets a lot of spirits in.
Yeah. So, I mean, we you know, I used fear and worry. All these things were outside things that were manipulating me to try to deal with my problem. If I worried enough, then my kids wouldn't do certain things. Or if, you know what I mean? Like that, that's craziness. Like, I used to check. Oh, my God. They remember. I used to check things. Like, if they were breathing, I would actually wake up out of, like, being already in bed and have to go check everybody with my hand under their nose, poke them, make them move. I mean, crazy stuff. You know, yeah. to feel comfort so that I can go to sleep. Like, that's cuckoo. Like, there's so much peace today. You know, even if I don't hear from my kids, there's peace. They're okay. It's okay. Amen. You know? But there was a time that's how I operated, checking stoves, doors, this, that.
And if you're taking care of older people, just know that it, because I did used to check my mom, mm-hmm. and she was 92, and sometimes I wasn't sure she's breathing, you know.
Yeah, but you weren't doing it because...
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Amen.
So
I know you weren't doing it because I was there.
Don't go, oh, I'm not doing that.
No, we just needed to know if she's still with us.
Yeah.
Very different. No, my fear, it was out of fear.
Yeah, I know. Mine. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just wanted people that are...
Yeah, if you're doing it because you're caring for someone and it's something that is needed to know because of the care, it's totally different. But when you're operating out of fear because, oh, my God, if something happens to them, how am I going to live? Or, you know, I can't get peace unless I know everybody's at peace. And it's just craziness. It's mm-hmm. just a crazy way to live. And we don't have to live like that anymore. That's the good news today, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us his life so that we can have
came
life.
To set the captives free.
Amen. Amen. So where was I? Okay. So I didn't have, and I was consumed by lots of things. Until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and received the Holy Spirit, I was totally defeated and powerless over everything in my life, no matter how much, no matter how loud I got, no how many times I beat somebody up. I was the most powerless person in the room. Because usually when you're bullied, like I was bullied when I was in fifth grade by two twins. And from that day on, I took a vow and I let the enemy in. I made a vow. No one will ever get the best of me. And I was like a maniac after that. Like, if I had to pick up a piece of glass, I was going to do it, because I was going to just be crazy. And if you be crazy, they'll stay away from you. I told my kids to do that on the bus. When you're on the bus, if you tell them, just act crazy, they're not going to come. I mean, that was like motherly lessons of life. They laugh today because they know that's like the last thing I would say to them. I'm like, try to help. Try to help them. That's what I would say. Don't act crazier than them.
Hey, David did it.
Yeah.
And the Philistine.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. So, oh, gosh. Today I'm silly. So until I accepted Jesus, I was totally powerless. And Jesus is my deliverer. He's your deliverer. He's all of us. He died for every single one of us, even if those people that don't believe in him, he died for them. Unfortunately, they may spend eternity in a very separate place from God, which is, to even think like that is just devastating to me. Being void of God. And, you know, people who don't receive him and don't accept him and don't know him, a void. And it happens, starts here on earth. And then you have, we're going to eternity. Either heaven or hell. So we have to make a decision here on earth.
I don't know. This just popped in my head. I kind of feel dumb saying it. I just, the spirit of suicide from, and it was in my generation. So from like first grade, it would come on me, you know. So when something bad happens, and the spirit of self-pity is what's behind that. And, but I would always try to gear stuff in my head to battle different things. And with that, I would think, well, killing myself, I think, because I'm in such, you know, feels like emotional pain. I'd say that'd be like my fingers burned on a frying pan. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't take this. I'm going to run in that burning house because if you
I'd rather burn the whole thing because if you do
kill yourself, you're going to be a million times worse than you're feeling right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It's like hell is like more torment than we can physically. Yeah. We can't imagine how bad that is.
That's right. So
I would tell myself that, man, that's like burning my finger. I'm not doing it.
Amen. Amen. You know, because I, and I'm just going to share it. So that I did take an attempt on my life when I was younger. Mm. And, it's like when you really feel like that's the only answer. This is probably somebody needs to hear this. There's always hope. There is, you know, and it was all because of fear. For me, like I didn't want to get caught. I'd rather not be here. I didn't want to deal with a consequence. You know, that's how like self-consumed. And I'm just going to say that, you know, you don't have to suffer. Just go to God. In the spirit of suicide or death that's on anyone right now, you don't have to listen to that voice because it's false. You're worth Jesus's life. So just go towards Jesus. Go towards the Word. He loves you. You're wonderfully and beautifully made, and He has a plan and purpose for you. So by the sound of my voice, anything that's trying to come against that plan and purpose, God's plan and purpose, I cast you out right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Every spirit that's of depression, suicide, amen. I command you to leave everyone listening right now in the name of Jesus. I release peace and joy into you in Jesus' name. I release love into you. Highly loved in Jesus' name.
That's right. And if you need to call someone, you can always call me, 631-745-7980. If you want to talk about it, if you want to talk to someone, if you have any more questions, if you need some scripture, just call me. I mean, I get calls a lot.
And she can give you my number you needed to talk to me about that.
Okay. Because we're here for you. You're not alone. And there's no coincidence you're listening to this right now because God's talking to you. Hallelujah.
And so, at Christmas time is a
time
when that spirit really runs havoc.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and so loved ones that are no longer here, whether it's through divorce or
and the enemy's a liar, yes.
It just will bring in that emotional pain. Now think about where is that? It's not a physical pain, but it's way worse than any physical pain you could have, emotional.
Yeah.
And that's how the enemy really tears us up.
Yep. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has delivered you. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. He's delivered you from that hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. Don't let the enemy deceive you, okay?
By delivering you, you have authority.
You have authority.
I mean, I've had people, you know the testimonies, like, guy's wife just left him 2 days earlier and he's like emotional wreck and I cast this thing out of him and I mean instantly he couldn't believe how all those feelings were gone and another person's dad just died. It was like 7 days earlier, they're crying on the phone and I had done deliverance with her though, so I said, hey look, spirits will take advantage of this, and she was laughing when I cast it out. I can't believe I don't feel that way anymore, you know?
Amen.
And so just know there is an enemy, and he does come in, and any bad things that happen to us, he will pile in. If suicide's like a landing strip for you, he will come in with that, especially around Christmas time. So,
yeah, all the holidays, right, exactly. But, because this is the time, you know, where with the joy and you know, when we're not around it or we feel isolated, he can get in there. So, and we want to be here for you. So just, I'm going to give you my number again, 631-745-7980. Please feel free to call me. You could always reach out to the station and they'll give you my information too if you didn't have a pen to write it down. And I also want to say, if you did feel something leave you, praise the Lord, hallelujah, please contact me. Let me know so we can get you on the air to share, because there's somebody else. Your testimony is so important for someone else, you know, to hear, because we're all designed and here to love and help and serve another person. And that, even if it's that one thing you do in a lifetime, it's the biggest thing you could do, is share something that was, once I was this way and now I'm this way because of deliverance or God's word or him stepping in and showing me, revealing this to me. It's important we share those testimonies with each other. Right, James? That's why he shares testimonies a lot, which is good.
Yeah, and that's what helped me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I seen the people getting healed, and then when he told me to pray, and, I mean, I seen the rain testimonies and, yeah, you know, a lot of them testimonies.
Yeah. So
just so we show made a... what we can do, you know. If I can do it, you can do it.
Amen. That's right. So even if you're in the car right now, if you feel the darkness coming upon you, just cast it off yourself. I used to open windows in my car, my front door if I was in the house, and I would do a physical act to show, to make it be manifest out of my house, out of my mind, out of everything.
And they don't need the door. That's just like a faith thing.
Yeah.
I do know a guy that was epileptic and didn't know anything about demons. He was in a meeting. He's actually ministers in deliverance and healing now. Pretty Amen. Big ministry. But he was in a meeting, went into a seizure. The lady, it was a woman pastor, she jumped up and said, "Open that door." And the lady opened the back of the church. He commanded it, come out of him, go out that back door and turn right and go down the street, never come back. Amen. And he's eyes open to the spirit realm. He's seen it come out of him, seen it go through the door and turn right.
So we want to say a prayer really quick. James, you want to lead people to Christ and this way, because we might
have
quick.
You don't have long left, but just repeat after me if you don't know the Lord and you want to ask him in your heart. So, Lord Jesus, I know you died for my sins.
Lord Jesus, I know you died for my sins.
I know you rose the third day.
I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Be Lord of my life.
Be Lord of my life.
And save me.
And save me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And Amen. We just want to say we love you all. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. And remember, 631-745-7980. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery. You can call me. My name is Luann, and I can even contact James for you. I can get you in contact with him. And if you need my number again and you did not write it down, call the station. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828. My stable's all they found.
side.